Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can like us on all the social media sites at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Great. Well, let's talk about Week 7 of the NFL. Start off with the Packers. Big win over the Bears with no running back. Packers had both James Starks out and Eddie Lacy out. They traded for Nile Davis. He only had one rush in the game at the very end, and most of it was done by Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery in the backfield.
And Montgomery's, he played running back in high school and a little bit in college, but he's really a wide receiver.
They're all wide receivers, but now in the end, they didn't run it as much as they threw it. Rodgers threw for over 50 times, and as you like to point out,
it was like he was 39 for 56. Because usually, when you do that in regulation, you're not going to win the game. But the 39 was impressive, and throwing that much, and they didn't have an offense on the Bears.
No, well, Brian Hoyer went out. And everybody's talking about how Jay Cutler might be done career-wise. So Hoyer goes out, so they bring in Matt Barkley, he of the Eagles and formerly of USC. And he didn't do much.
Well, they were talking about Cutler may never play again, right? That was the whisper on the street. And then they named him the starting quarterback this week.
So there just goes to show you it's all arbitrary, and nobody really knows until you find
out. Exactly.
So that was an interesting one. We had I think this is our final London game. I think there might be one more. Well, in any case, Giants 17-10 over the Rams. And the Eagles-Vikings, which everybody was talking up, the last undefeated team against a very good team, Bradford's old team, and six straight series, they went tit-for-tat with turnovers. Interception.
Yeah, that was crazy. Sloppy.
Let's see. Eagles punt, Vikings punt. Eagles interception, Vikings interception. Eagles fumble, Vikings fumble. Eagles interception, Vikings interception. It was ridiculous. I don't think any of us have seen anything like that.
It was. It was a folly.
Yeah. And Vikings, everybody's hip to the scene that the Vikings can't run the ball effectively without Peterson. And they're just going to wait back, rush Bradford, and they'll probably get to him or they'll step in front of the wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, it didn't turn out that way for the Vikings.
No.
And plus, Philadelphia had a return for a touchdown.
Yes. Yeah.
And they won. Last time they did it, they lost.
Yeah, it's true. So, so the Vikings fell to the Eagles on the road. Other games of note, the Bills were leading the Dolphins, but Jay Ajayi, with his second straight 200-yard rushing game.
That's amazing, amazing.
Yes, in Miami, were able to come back and defeat the Bills 28-25.
Well, I could understand why Foster retired after seeing that 2 weeks. He's like, how do I compete with this?
That's very, absolutely. Arian Foster retired, Pac-Man as his nickname was. He was good when healthy, but he was every year. It was his shin, it was his leg, it was something, always got injured. And so he stepped away, and now Jay Ajayi has stepped in, and it looks like has cemented himself as the starter. We'll see how effective he is.
Yeah, he has a, great vision and balance, the moves. Hey, he's exciting to watch.
You got to be pretty good if you're going to run 200 yards back-to-back games. I think he joined.
Now, would you expect him this week not to have it?
Yeah, I would.
Or are they in a bye?
The Dolphins are. I think the Dolphins are on a bye. Yeah, Dolphins on a bye. But I don't. I mean, he's not going to do it for 3 weeks. Let's put it that way. But he joins.
No, you're taking a break in between isn't too shabby.
True, yeah. He joins illustrious companies such as Earl Campbell, O.J. Simpson. I'm trying to think of some other ones I heard there. But yeah, some big time names, back to back 200 yard games. Let's see. Bengals beat the Browns. No surprise. Raiders go on the road. Jack Del Rio gets revenge against his old team. Lions pull out a victory against the Redskins. Colts actually win a game. Chiefs hold off the Saints. The Jets win 24-16. Ravens go back to back weeks to MetLife and lose both weeks.
Yeah, but they lost a quarterback.
Yep. Who did, the Jets or the Ravens? Cause,
yeah, Jets.
Oh, yeah. Geno Smith started the game, did not play very well until he went down with a knee injury, torn ACL. And by the way, this is his last year of his rookie contract. We may have just seen the end of Geno Smith. So,
is he an NFL bust?
Yeah, to the extent that he's not going to be a starter anymore. He's going to be a backup somewhere else, but he's not going to be a starter again. But he was technically a second-round pick, so how much of a bust can you be for your second-round pick?
Right.
But then Fitz comes in, and everybody's nervous. Also, they lost Nick Mangold for the game. He had his leg rolled up on. But
right.
Yet, Fitzpatrick comes in, and he plays very well, pretty much earned his starter back. And then after the game, he was making comments to the press, basically about how Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, the GM, and even the owner, Woody Johnson,
Woody.
They didn't believe in me. You know, when it's tough when you have a GM and a coach and an owner who doesn't believe in you, you just have to persevere, which really unheard of, not only from a guy like him, but really to hear that.
You know, it's football mentality. It's always us against them. The enemy's at the gate, you know, the immediacy, the urgency, the, you know, it all plays into the psyche of all that. And if that's what it takes to motivate you, so be it.
It's very true. And so Fitzpatrick lives for another week. The Chargers on the road, come back, tie, and then win in overtime, 33-30 against the failing Falcons right now. Back-to-back weeks loss, including this one at home. Is the fade starting already, you think?
With
the Falcons. Every year, they slip at the end. They start off really well. I mean, everybody was singing their praises a week or two ago before the Seattle game, and now...
Right.
You know,
well, last year, they were 5-0.
That's very true. They're very true, but no, this week...
The NFL is a marathon, so, you know, I guess all of us could sprint out there and get the lead, but, yeah, hanging on, closing things out.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
It could be a coaching style.
Might be. Dan Quinn, a Pete Carroll disciple. You look at Gus Bradley down in Jacksonville, another Pete Carroll disciple, having some difficulties, so we'll have to see. Patriots go on the road against a Big Ben-less Steelers, which pretty much people already knew that game was in hand. And then the marquee game, the Sunday night game, Cardinals-Seahawks in a divisional battle, 6-6, overtime final, a tie game.
But how did both kickers miss at the end? I mean, you can't script this stuff. And how does that do for ratings, which are slipping in the NFL? I heard 12-18% or whatever on the...
16 is the average.
Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night.
Yeah, it's too much. We've gone over it. It's way too much football. You're flooding the market. And then, you know, if you're a college football fan, you've got enough on that plate there. You got to watch a Thursday night game. You got to watch a Monday night game. I mean, that's why these games are online for Twitter. To bring up that at least viewership, maybe not the Nielsen number, but at least, hey, people are watching the game. But here's a perfect example. This game went late, and there was not much to it. If you were watching for the first 3.5 quarters, nothing. Really, they get to each other's 20, not even get it. They get it to like the 40.
It was like a long ping pong match.
It really was. And it didn't help that Russell Wilson had a bad knee, so he couldn't make as many plays. Both defenses were really good. In fact, Arizona had a chance to go ahead and win the game much earlier
in
the game.
They chose not to.
Well, not only did they not choose not to, but there was another kick where it was blocked. The guy jumps over the center, and he does. And they were trying to see, did he make contact?
I thought if you made contact, that it's illegal.
I thought so too, but apparently they said, well,
so you had to make a clean leap.
Well,
and why can't the guy lift his head? I mean, nobody puts their arm up. Not even an arm was put up. And this guy's known for doing that.
Well, not only that. Well, first of all, I think at this point, hiker, the center for the long snapper, at this point, if you don't know how to long snap with your head up, do you always have to have your head down? Because you're already in a prone position to begin with. And the problem is you can't – he did technically make contact. He dragged his – the bottom of the spikes again, but you can't review a penalty. You can't go back and say, wait, let's see if he made, you know, that might be a thing in the future.
Well, I'm not blaming the refs. And, you know, to tell you the truth, all the flags I see, and, you know, I'm sure that doesn't help the ratings either. It gets ridiculous after a while. It's hard to watch.
It really is. It really is. But, yeah, so that kick was blocked, and then they go into overtime. They both the Cardinals kicker, Catanzaro, I forget his name. He shanked a short kick, 30 yards, shanked it. And then,
spend the rest of the time with his head down on the sideline.
Seeing everybody.
And then he started smirking when the other guy missed.
I know. Seeing the Cardinals sideline just blow up in frustration. You see the Seattle sideline jumping up. Oh, we're going to do. Seattle goes down the other way, gets even closer. I think that ball was like that was a 26-yard field goal.
That was crazy. And it was hooked. It was hooked hard.
And it was on the right hash mark where this should be simple. Hooked it. Hooked it hard. So hard. Missed it. And yeah, the Cardinals kicker looking down, they had the replay from the sideline. He's going to grab his hat. Give me the hat. Okay, we're going to go out.
Josh Brown from the Giants is available.
He's available, but no. So is Ray Rice. Let's just put it that way.
No, but there's a difference. This guy wasn't convicted of anything.
No, true.
There were no charges brought against him. And he revealed his verbal abuse to his ex-wife or whatever and in a journal as part of therapy.
Right.
You know, What happened to HIPAA laws and what happened to, so this gets revealed and then the employer terminates them, you know, without even a charge. I mean, it's amazing. Well, I mean, this is how image scared the NFL is, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about the ratings. They're going to connect this, even if it has or doesn't have anything to do with each other. They're still going to, this is a money-making operation. Is the NFL, and they're going to look and say, you know what?
Well, I'm still looking for the white suit for Ray Lewis.
Well, we know it's selective.
You know, with the red highlights on it?
We understand. But the NFL, as we know, is selective. They're selective in the penalties they throw. They're selective in their morality. They're selective in all sorts of ways, except if you have money for ads. Then you can spend money there.
Well, I can't believe that the commissioner still has his job. Because the NFL did not investigate this case for Josh Brown.
You're very true. However,
and they said information came. Well, I read the information in the newspaper too. I love when politicians say. I heard it the same way you did. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, don't forget talking about Roger Goodell's job. Who does he work for? The NFL or the owners? He works for the owner. I'm just saying. And guess what? They are making money hand over fist. Even if business is a little bit down, that's like the difference between $1 billion and $2 billion. It's still billions. You know what I mean? So in any case, so the kicker puts his head down. He's starting to walk off. Give me my hat. I'll just, what? He missed it all. You could even see his face. What? He missed it? I can't pronounce his name either, the Seattle kicker. And then, of course, everybody's talking. It's the football gif of the year. Pete Carroll's face. It's up. Huh? Huh? Looking around, just absolutely shocked. So, and don't forget, that kick was with 7 seconds left in overtime. The game was way past midnight.
Right.
So, yeah, you want to talk about why ratings are down? That's part of the reason.
That set the league back 20 years.
Yeah, really. All right, so let's look forward to week 8 of the NFL. Who do you like this week?
Right.
for the best bets of the week.
You know, I think you've kind of, I think you mentioned earlier the Titans.
Titans given 3.5. Don't forget, they played Titans and Jaguars played a Thursday night game last year for the color rush, you know, with the gold and then the baby blue. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm thinking the Titans at home, the Jaguars coming off a loss at home, the Titans losing at home to the Colts, 34-26. I like the Titans here. I can't trust the Jaguars until they actually do something, and I don't think it's going to be on a Thursday night game.
Right. Now, you know, the Redskins and the Bengals, that's in London.
Ah, okay, then there you go. Redskins, Bengals, my apologies. Bengals given 3.5. Who do you like there?
Man, I wouldn't touch that game. I don't trust that, you know, people going across the lake, and it's just a nightmare. I don't know what they're doing for entertainment. I don't know if they're doing this team bonding or they're out enjoying the sights. I have no idea what's going on over there. I mean, I'm not excited about any of these games in London. I mean,
I'm going to be honest. There's something nice about waking up, turning on a football game 9:30. I'm still laying in bed. Turn it on, and then maybe if it's if it's a matchup I don't really care for, which most of these games are, you know, maybe I'll get up after the first quarter, halftime, get up, you do your stuff, then you come back for the end of the game. It's not even noon yet, and then you can skip over the pregame show, do whatever you got, come back for the 1 o'clock game. So it's kind of,
I guess I'm more, I guess, conditioned in my habits than I to do other things in the morning, so I can watch afternoon football.
Very true, but I guess, you know, depending on what you do, like you might be, if you're listening to the radio or you're doing this or that.
If Alex is listening, we hope he is, I wonder how it's, you know, viewed in England.
Me and Alex are talking. We're in the process of having him record something to send on over to join into the podcast. So I'll make sure he gets that message. Alex, we miss you, and we hope you hear this.
Yeah. And, you know, like, is it going to expand? Like, has, you know, are they taking to it, or is it a novelty? Or
I think it's still a novelty, but they're also moving it around over there. It's no longer just at Wembley Stadium. They're moving around. They're at Tottenham. It's a rugby. It's where the Hotspurs play, but it's where the rugby, it's a big, well-known rugby stadium. It's also where the Hotspurs play their football, soccer, whichever you want to call it. So,
I mean, they tested the market, I'm sure, with the London Monarch, and you know, it's not that new there.
Oh no, but they know, So we got the Titans. I like them, and you seem to like them. Who else you got?
I'm liking the Cowboys over the Eagles.
Cowboys.
That line's 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5 going up against the Eagles. I like the Cowboys there, but I couldn't give you a feel on that line. That's a big divisional matchup. I know they're going to run the ball. I know the Cowboys are going to run the ball. And so that's something not what they saw this week against the Vikings.
I think the story in the story is, does Dez Bryant getting back on the field, does that present a problem for a rookie quarterback?
It might.
Like, because, you know, he gets greedy and he gets loud and he gets disruptive and, you know, it's not all positive. On the sideline, I thought he was, you know, he was great. Hate to say that about the guy, but he can put the team in a position.
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true.
So, you know, if I'm Prescott, I'm throwing to him early.
Yeah.
I don't want this guy, you know. You got to feed the monster, I guess, but it's tough.
No, absolutely it is. All right, so the Cowboys. So you like the Cowboys and the Titans?
I do, and I actually do like the Falcons.
The Falcons are
playing the Packers, right? That line's 3.5.
Yeah, I have it at 2.5, but yeah, it's around that. They're all
right. The only interesting, I would give them a shot this week, the Falcons, to right this ship. And the Packers are vulnerable. They're virtually a one trick pony at this point.
Very true. Yes, they are.
And it's the champions, pony. Don't get me wrong, and Rodgers. But the interesting line to me was the Raiders. They opened up as, and they were given the Bucks one. And now it's flipped, so the Raiders are getting 1.5.
Yeah.
So usually in those instances, I follow the money, follow the line. So in that case, I'd like the Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks are now the favorite at a. I have a half point here, but so it's basically a pick 'em. But you know the way the Raiders have been playing, I would almost take that one too.
But the Broncos, I think you like the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos home against the Chargers.
That line opened at 7; it's now 5.5.
Yeah, I don't think that the Chargers can beat the Broncos twice in one season. And I think that there's a bit of an emotional high for the Chargers coming off a big overtime win, finally getting off that we can't finish the game schneid. So I think I like the Broncos 5.5 plus. I think they're due for another back-to-back home winning streak. So, yeah, I can like them.
And the other line that reminds me, you know, puzzling line last week was that the Eagles were home getting 2.5, and I heard in Vegas the money was near 80% on the Vikings, but the line never moved.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, what happened there. But this Panther line, the Panthers opened up giving the Cardinals 1.
Yeah.
Now they're giving the Cardinals 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking like that looks odd, right? So I'm thinking, you know, go with the Panthers.
Yeah, I think so too. Even with all their struggles, I don't know if Carolina, especially coming off a really draining game. I mean, they're going to try, and they're going to bust out. They're going to try to bust out the offense. I mean, Carolina's defense is not what Seattle's defense is this year, but I think they're going to try and bust it out. So I actually might think, I don't know.
The bigger story there is what happened to Cam Newton, and can he stop feeling sorry for himself? Is this team going to come and play?
Well, we'll see. They came off a bye, right? Yeah, so they're coming off a bye, so you'd hope that there's some regrouping there to help them out.
And you had the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, playing that stupid 6-6 game.
Yeah, that's some sort of ridiculousness, I tell you what.
Okay.
So there you go. So we like the Titans, the Broncos. You heard a lot of numbers there. Titans, Broncos, Cowboys, Panthers, Buccaneers, Falcons. Yeah. So take your pick. You know, try a parlay and see what you can do.
There you go.
Moving over to baseball in the World Series. The Indians are in the World Series. We already knew about. Beating the Blue Jays 4-1. And then the Cubs dramatically took 2 straight in L.A., and then, although they beat them up pretty good, and then went back home and they clinched the National League pennant for the first time since 1945 and are going to the World Series. Big deal. Now, some say, depending on... Now,
it was 1948, right?
No, 1945. Something like that. It's been 1948 was the Indians, the last time they won.
Right. Oh, okay.
Cubs haven't won since 1908, so that's 108 years, but they haven't been to the World Series since 1945. That was the last year against the Tigers. And now the curse of the Billy Goat, depending on who you are and which version you believe, either you say the curse is broken or it's not. Some believe that it's the curse of never making the World Series, and the other side of the curse is, well, it's actually never winning the World Series, depending on what you believe. But I tell you what, Chicago went full bore in their celebration. It was a big, big deal when they clinched the pennant.
Right, and they came out flat.
Well, they came out game one in Cleveland. Corey Kluber, who won the Cy Young Award for the American League in 2014, an absolutely amazing performance. First pitcher ever to strike out 9 batters in the first 3 innings, something like that, 4 innings, something like that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was perfect.
It was.
But I think the whole story in that game was Lester. I mean, I was shocked and amazed the lead they take of this guy. The guy will not throw over, and then the catcher on one, he's going to throw it to first, and the ball comes out of his glove, and usually the drama is either the consecutive strikeouts or, you know, hitting the ball. involves hitting the ball.
Yeah.
And here, all the drama was, is this guy ever going to throw over? Why aren't they stealing? And then when a guy does steal, it was amazing how that Baez at second. This guy,
yeah, Javier Baez. Amazing.
He's unbelievable, right? And he swings, he just slaps the tag in the location, right? And the strings of the glove hit his leg.
He doesn't even look.
And they didn't challenge it, so the drama around Lester, and he's staring at, he's a lefty, so he's staring at first base. You're begging him to throw. It was strangest thing.
He hasn't thrown to first base since April 14th of like 2014.
Is it the Mackie Sasser Chuck thing where if he does, it's going to go errant?
He has the, as they call him, the yips. He's got the Steve Sachs, the Mackie Sasser, the Chuck Knobloch.
Oh, it's Steve Sachs. That was a Knobloch.
No, Knobloch had that too. Yeah, he
did. Yeah. Okay, yeah, they get the yips and then it's over.
Right.
That seems to happen to NFL kickers too.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers tried to do that in Game 5. In L.A., they were taking giant leads. All their batters were squaring up the bunt. Because not only does he does he refuse to throw over to first base, he absolutely hates fielding his position. He's of the mindset that, well, if I, you know, I don't have to worry about it because I'll make sure nobody gets on base. Well, unfortunately, when they get on base. Now, the Dodgers don't have a lot of team speed, if I may quote Earl Weaver. Team speed. They don't have a lot of team speed, but here are the Indians who led the major leagues in stolen bases. They were second in all of baseball in taking the extra base and scoring up runs from second base.
Uh-huh.
So
very aggressive.
I mean, that's a big part of why they beat up on the Blue Jays, because they were able to take all those extra bases. And so now they were in a position facing John Lester, who hates to throw over. He has a quick delivery to home, but, you know, if you're not going to throw over, why am I going to stay close to the base? They got big jumps.
Right.
So they were able to win, pull it off. I think the score was 6-0. They were up 3-0 for most of the game. But, yeah, the Indians took game one, and currently here in game two, Jake Arrieta matching up very well against the Indians lineup. The Cubs are winning 2-0 in the top of the fifth. Now, this game is noteworthy even last night. There was forecast of rain late tonight. This is Wednesday, right. October 26th. Late Wednesday night in Cleveland. And yesterday's game ended a little bit before midnight because all these games start at 8:30. Football games start at 8:25, 8:30. The baseball playoffs start at 8:30 or 8 o'clock. So,
right.
Meanwhile, by the way, regular season, all the games start at 7 or 7:30. In any case... to avoid the rain, yeah,
they moved it up an hour. We've seen this in football. It can't just stop in games for the weather. I mean, was the weather a big deal? So it's a big deal because the starter, you know, once the rain delay starts, he won't be brought back. I mean, that's the compelling part of all of this.
Well, and plus now, because baseball's so, everything is so commercialized and you have to make sure you get the ratings for all this. They didn't have to worry about that in the old days. So now what they do is everything is regimented. You know, the off days are the off days. There can't be any,
no doubleheaders.
Nothing like that. And, you know, they didn't like it in 2008 when the final game of the World Series had to be postponed.
So maybe America is getting soft.
Well,
make Major League Baseball great again.
You know what? Then you and Bryce Harper for 2020. That's what I guess.
I like it.
So yeah, they moved the game up to 7 o'clock. We're currently recording. It's 9 o'clock. It's the top of the fifth. This is great. The game's going to be over before 11 o'clock. I can get sleep. We can get sleep. And what is it? I forget what percentage of the United States population lives in the Eastern time zone, but it's like, I think it's like 30.
But if you're in California, where you listen to the game in traffic, on the way home from work.
Yeah, sure.
Like it works great for us, I guess, but not the whole country.
No, but I mean, the eastern part of the United States have something like 30% of America's population. The West Coast only has like 12. So the rest of it is split up between the two in the middle, if I remember correctly. I'll have to double check that. But America is very Eastern heavy. And so if you set it up where one whole time zone has to stay up way later if they even care to, don't forget, baseball is a very regional sport. If your team's not in it, you tend not to watch it. Same thing with basketball. If your team's
but this
not,
is the fall classic.
I agree, but if you, you know, I'm going to say, if you look at the ratings, you know, just like, I'm just, all sports,
crowd, and you'll find out.
Right. So, I mean, people are going to watch, hopefully, to see the Cubs possibly win this. It's going to be a long series. It's going to go, it's got to go seven games. If this is anything less than six games, then either one's victory will be hollow. Because that's the thing. Now that the Cubs are in the World Series, you have to, there has to be some sort of drama. They started off the season as the overwhelming favorite by everybody to win the World Series.
True, true.
Well, you had the, what were the odds, like 5-3 or something like that?
You're talking about aggressive play. This guy drove it into right field line, and boom, the other guy scored all the way around.
Ben Zobrist.
And he slipped in the outfield.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, man.
Cubs
are on a roll.
Cubs are on the roll. Look, you knew you weren't going to get two against the Cubs. Something's got to happen. Ben Zobrist is a very dangerous. He's great.
Right.
He really is. And Corey Kluber can't pitch every game. So here you go. The Cubs are probably going to win this game. They're going to go back to Chicago, tied series 1-1. And that's what I'm talking about. This can't be a short series. Cubs can't win this in four straight after losing game one. Because everything's just going to be like, oh, it's anticlimactic. And we talked about this. When the Red Sox won in 0-4, and then they've won twice after that, like they're just, if they fail, they're just a sad big market. Like it's like the Mets. If the Mets lose, then it's just depressing. It's, oh, of course they do. You expect it. But when these other teams that had quote-unquote curses on them or just really long periods where they don't do, it's fun. When baseball becomes so statistical and regimented and you know you can basically predict how seasons will go and players will go, to it's so cold that you want that sort of fun, exciting mystery, mysticism that baseball curses, quote-unquote, can provide. That's just my personal two cents.
It's exciting.
Right. So
it's the best. It's to me, the ideal matchup.
It's true.
I don't want to see the Dodgers in there. I don't want to see the Cardinals in there. I don't want to see the Yankees in there.
No.
So this is very refreshing.
It is. It's,
you know, and I'm seeing, you know, players that I don't get to see all year.
No, Francisco Lindor, Jason Kipnis. I mean, everybody talks about Chris Bryant, but now you've seen, as you were talking about, Javier Baez, all these guys.
Yeah, that guy's huge.
He's big.
Excellent.
Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez, childhood friends. They played on the same travel team, and they played each other in high school on opposing teams down in Florida. So, yeah, and that's refreshing, too. Plus, don't forget.
Well, I think the Indians for a long time have recruited in Central America.
Oh, sure.
You know, in other countries.
Well,
just think of when I think they were the second one to integrate, right? Like something like
they were the this. First. They were the first American League team, Larry Doby in 1949, 48, I think. Actually, I think it was 48.
Yeah, I think 49. He was 47 when he started. But anyway,
yeah.
He hit a home run, and I think in the 48 World Series.
Yeah, true. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, yeah, I'm. I hope a long series. You know, I wouldn't mind to see Cleveland win it. There's something. I think there's something really nice about having two championships for one city in the same year. Not always.
It's is it the LeBron effect? You know, it can only build.
It might be. So we'll have to see about that. Yeah, basketball season started, but it's way too early to even talk about anything unless you want to hate on Kevin Durant, and I don't blame you. So, all right, Dad. Well, thanks.
And the Rose story, but I think we've all heard.
Well, yeah. Well, enough with the off the field antics after Josh Brown. I think we're good. All right, Dad. Well, thanks very much for joining me this week.
Okay, appreciate being here. Thank you. All right,
see you next week. And you can call us 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. Andrew, please, your Chicago Cubs are in the World Series. Take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.